we have a moment of silence, please? Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so before we do roll call, we have three council members to swear oath of office, and our city clerk will do that.
Yes. So I'm going to Councilor Baldwin, Councilor May, Councilor Stewart, come on up. We're going to do them all at the same time. So we're going to do tissues here. All come to the same right here. You have to put your hand up. Okay, so what we're going to do is you can raise your right hand and repeat after me. So, and then you take, say the name of your first. So I, Garth Baldwin.
I, Garth Baldwin.
I, Mary Lou Stewart.
I, Mary Lou Stewart.
I, Richard May.
I, Richard May.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
And laws.
And laws.
Of the State of Washington.
Of the State of Washington.
And that I.
And that I.
Will faithfully and impartially.
Will faithfully and impartially.
Perform and discharge.
Perform and discharge.
The duties of.
The duties of.
The office of.
The office of.
City of Blaine.
City of Blaine.
Council Ward.
Council Ward 2.
1, 3.
1.
Okay. Position.
Position 3.
Position.
In and for.
In and for.
The County of Whatcom.
The County of Whatcom.
State of Washington.
State of Washington.
According to law.
According to law.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Okay, now roll call.
Oh, I need the mic. All right, we have Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Garth Baldwin.
Present.
Alicia Rule.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Richard May.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
And Eric Davidson.
Here.
All right. Okay, our first order of business is our organizational meeting to elect a mayor and a mayor pro tem. And then we will also be deciding on committee assignments. First of all, I'd like to say Happy New Year to everybody. We're already 2 weeks in. Looking forward to an exciting decade ahead for Blaine. Okay, so we now will entertain nominations for mayor.
So, Madam Mayor, I would like to propose for Mayor Bonnie Onion.
Sir.
Oh, no, no, no. Right now, we're just nominating. Each council member gets to nominate who they want to be mayor. And then once all the nominations are taken, then we move on to the voting process.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So no.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just about to ask for other nominations. Yeah. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, all in favor of Bonnie Onion for mayor for the next 2 year term, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Bonnie Onion will serve another 2 years as mayor. Next is Mayor Pro Tem.
I'd like to nominate Mary Lou Stewart.
Is there a second for Mary Lou Stewart for Mayor Pro Tem?
I think we're just doing nominations at this point in time, so we don't need a second. We're just looking for just a nomination, essentially. So if someone else wants to nominate someone else, because we haven't gone through the entire process, we haven't closed it, if you will, then we'll second it and vote. Yeah.
Any other nominations?
Yeah.
For Mayor Pro Tem? Okay, seeing none. All in favor of the motion to nominate or to elect Mary Lou Stewart for Mayor Pro Tem, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries unanimously for Mary Lou Stewart for Mayor Pro Tem for the next 2-year term. All right, so at this point, I guess we're going to do our committee assignments further on in the meeting. That's the way you've put it on the agenda, so we'll do that then. Thank you, everybody, for the vote of confidence. The next chair, Ms. Mayor, I appreciate that. And also, just to let you know that at our next meeting, I'm going to do a little rearranging of seating assignments. I think that's kind of a healthy thing to just kind of mix it up a little bit. We've all been in our spots for a while, and so I'm going to figure that out, and then we'll just rearrange the main fights when you come in for the next meeting. Okay, next is audience participation. Is anybody in the audience? We didn't have anybody sign up, but is there anybody who would like to speak before council on any matter? If not, okay, we'll move on to the fire chief's report.
Thank you. Good evening, council members, city staff, and our public. Two things to talk to you about tonight. One is the Santa Run. Every year we do a parade of fire engines throughout the community, throughout our fire district, and reach out to the community with fire engines, with lights and things to celebrate the season. And then also, the big part of that is really collecting things for the community and for the needy of the community. And this year we collected 100 presents, $100 in cash, and 150 pounds worth of food to be donated locally. So it was very successful. The next item that I wanted to talk about is kind of a community service type of concept, which is that this type of time of year, especially as it gets cold, we worry a lot about CO poisoning in homes. And so just a reminder to everyone, every year we tend to have people that don't understand or know the dangers of open flame or burning inside of a home. We end up throughout the state with deaths in homes because they've brought barbecues in the houses or other sorts of things to heat when it gets really cold and they're unable to keep their homes warm on their own, and that produces carbon monoxide. So I would suggest to you to look into CO detectors in your homes and just to put out the word to people that it's really important to keep combustibles and other types of use only approved heating devices in your homes. So that's the safety tip for tonight. And if there are any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them for you. Thank you.
As always, thank you, Chief. Okay, we've got at least one written communication, City Clerk.
And we do have a new email dated January 6, 2020 from Stacy Prashner regarding the proposed building vacancy ordinance, as well as the other email dated January 9, 2020 from Izzy Lund regarding the story from the Western Front.
And she has been responded to.
Correct.
All right, next on the consent agenda, we've got approval of bills in the amount of $264,592.04, with a wire register of $328,040.88. Approval of bills from January 13th of $82,826.05. Approval of payroll, $612,902.54. And approval of the December 23rd regular city council minutes, as well as renewal of an animal control agreement between the City of Blaine and the Waukegan Humane Society for a 5-year term at an annual cost of $7,500. And there's info, further info of that in your packets. It was pretty straightforward, so it was included in the consent agenda. So is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Hawkins, second by Stewart to approve consent agenda. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries seven zero. Okay, next we move on to council action items. We will not be doing any appointments to the two boards that are on here on the agenda until our January 27th meeting. Correct?
We're doing the Florida Cemetery Board? Or no?
It's just the board that we're going to wait on.
Oh. Okay, yeah, we can go ahead and postpone.
All of them until on the 27th. That's what I thought we had decided. Okay, so moving on to number three, resolution 1787-20, approving the Muirfield PUD and preliminary plat extension. Mrs. Kachner.
I'm going to bring up a map of the preliminary plat. Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members, administration staff, and of course members of the public here this evening. My name is Stacey Kachner, the CDS director for the city. Always my pleasure to appear in front of council. Provided in advance of this evening's meeting are a draft resolution and a request for council action concerning a request from the Cascade Engineering Group on the behalf of the property owners for a preliminary plat extension for the proposed Muirfield subdivision. The packet did originally include a picture of the preliminary plat. Don't think it got printed out. So I have up here on the screen the proposed layout for the Muirfield subdivision. The Muirfield preliminary plat and plan unit development, or PUD, is a proposed 10-lot residential subdivision with accompanying public improvements, including that new internal road with the cul-de-sac, driveways, stormwater management, open space and buffers, and it's located adjacent to Semiyama Parkway and then just south of the entrance to Goldeneye Street. Council approved the Muirfield preliminary plat and PUD via ordinance in May of 2013. Therefore, pursuant to the 7-year time limit for preliminary plats as authorized by the state, the project is set to expire in May of 2020, so that's this year. The applicants, in compliance with both the timing and substantive requirements of Blaine Municipal Code, have submitted a request that council extend the timeline of approval for 1 year, and the council is authorized to do that per Title 17. The applicants, at the same time as submitting that request, they have also submitted to the city both an authorizing land disturbance permit and the accompanying civil construction plans to Public Works so that they can begin work and installation of that public infrastructure on the property, eventually go to final plat, and then create the lots and build on them. So the department, after reviewing the request for both the procedural, legal, and factual compliance with state law and local codes, recommends that the council consider extending the expiration timeline through the Muirfield preliminary plat by extension of the PUD for 1 year, and that would make the expiration date May 13th of 2021. I'd be happy to answer any questions from the council about this request.
Sorry, Stacey. So you say that it's adjacent to Goldeneye entrance, so that's Turnberry.
That is, yes, I think you can see Goldeneye. It's just, the entrance to Goldeneye is just north of the proposed plat.
So that makes it in relation to Woodbury and the fire station, so it's fire station, Woodbury, and then this Muirfield, is that correct?
I think there's another parcel in between Woodbury.
And this?
And this, okay. Yes.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, so this is just a grant and extension. So would someone like to move to approve Resolution 1787-20, extending the expiration timeline for the Muirfield preliminary plat and plan unit development approval for 1 year with a new expiration date of May 13th, 2021?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Davidson. Second by May. Any other further questions? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, next we move on to an amendment to the Memorandum of Understanding between the Friends of the Library, the Whatcom County Library District, and the City of Blaine. Mr. Jones will introduce this one.
Council, as you probably are aware, we have a Memorandum of Understanding that was entered into last year, April 16th, for a planning effort to design and prepare for construction of a new library. The Friends of the Library had raised funds, and they wanted to use that towards that project. The city and the district are also in support of building a new library and a larger library for the City of Blaine and surrounding users. In that initial Memorandum of Understanding, one of the components was that the two parties, the library district and the city, would entertain the possibilities of transferring the library, the new library, when constructed, to the district. That was something that was included in the MOU at the time. Since that time, as things have progressed and the library district has explored more of that from their perspective, they are coming to the conclusion that that's not something, in spite of discussions, they would not want to do, and they wanted to be pretty upfront about that at this point. So this was presented to us by Christine Perkins, the executive director of the library district. So I asked Christine to be here tonight to give you some information from the perspective of the district. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have for us, for staff. This really is just a policy issue on whether we want to move in that direction or continue to keep that opportunity open. So it's definitely something that needs you to decide on. Christine?
Thank you. It's pretty straightforward. It's exactly as Michael presented. I have been keeping our board informed as I've been meeting with you and sharing feedback from you folks with our board. And at our last board meeting, there was some extended discussion about, I think it's item 8 in the current MOU, and feeling like at this moment in time, they weren't ready to commit to really contemplating taking over ownership of the building. But at the same time, they are hoping to move forward in partnership with the City of Blaine to pursue a joint LCFA to fund a building in Blaine. And they were nervous about getting any further down the road or using up more of the clock that's ticking in discussing this and then not getting to a resolution further. So they asked that we talk about that with you and consider removing item 8 from the current Memorandum of Understanding.
Okay, very straightforward. Karen?
Is this similar to the agreement you have with Birch Bay and its library?
No, it is different. With the community of Birch Bay, there is no municipality, so it is a group of citizens that are trying to raise money to help fund the library in that area. And long term, we have found that friends groups in communities do not always have the wherewithal to continue to maintain buildings over the long term, although our experience with the municipalities is that generally our municipalities have, so it is different.
Is part of the library's concern that there's no funding source through the library district that would be able to maintain the building? Is that
correct? Yeah, we, as you know, we have had a long-standing arrangement with City of Blaine as well as our other municipalities, where the library district takes care of the day-to-day maintenance of the inside of the building, but some of the issues affecting the exterior or the shell of the building is the responsibility of the building owner. And so, for example, if a car hits the building or something needs to be fixed, from that standpoint, it's the responsibility of the building owner to take care of that. Of course, if everything works perfectly and we end up being able to build a building in the near term, the maintenance cost for a building would be hopefully very limited. And so that's to great benefit to the building owner for that first period of time.
Any other questions?
So, how many libraries are there in the Auburn County Library System right now?
10.
And plus the bookmobile, which is the underserved areas. Mm-hmm. And so far, all of them are owned by the locality, but or the Friends Group, and the Auburn County Library System just provides the books and librarians?
Yep, and the technology, and we pay the heat and lights.
Okay, so nowhere in the system so far is there anything where the Auburn County Library System actually owns a building?
There is one. Just last year, we took over the North Fork Community Library, which was owned by a Friends Group, and the Friends Group was losing membership and was unable to continue to maintain the building.
Interesting. Thank you very much.
I noticed on our background summary here that I suppose Michael prepared, it says WCLS continues to be fully committed to operate in the library and are committed to partnership with the city for building operations and maintenance. So does that mean that if not currently, at some point in time, there could be a partnership for the maintenance of the building, or how am I to understand?
I'd be happy to answer that. Mm-hmm. As Christine alluded to, the library district does do some aspect of the maintenance. They're responsible for the interior cleaning, bathroom cleaning, and some of the more minor interior maintenance. Those would be the things that we would expect in the ongoing situation with the library would remain very similar.
Okay, but major things like a roof leak or major plumbing,
replacing the air conditioning,
the city
heating system, yeah, bigger systems, exterior, as Christine mentioned, things like replacing the heating and air conditioning, plumbing changes, those would be things that the city has been responsible for in the library, and we would anticipate in the future scenario we would still be responsible for. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will mention that there's always the opportunity as a case-by-case basis to talk about that, and that's part of our current agreement for exchange of services. When we did the lighting retrofit at the Blaine Library, there was cost sharing involved in that. So no one entity took on the whole responsibility. We worked it out. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if there's no further questions or discussion, I'm ready for a vote on this. So would someone like to move to? You know what I mean? To approve this revised and amended MOU with the library district.
So moved.
Second.
Actually, I think Charlie sort of. Okay. Did you make a motion, Charlie?
I did.
Charlie made a motion. Mary Lou seconded it. Okay, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Thank you folks for coming, library supporters, one and all. Okay, next is council position on state legislative proposal for local option for voter approved sales tax for park funding. Jones.
Yes, an item came across my desk through our consultants with down in Olympia, and it was related to a pair of bills at the state legislature that are being reintroduced from last year. It will be in the 2020 legislative session from House Bill 1371 and Senate Bill 5680. They basically have mirrored language that would effectively create a program that's similar to a transportation benefit district option for funding local park services, and they could be used for construction and maintenance of park facilities. As it stands now, they're crafted with the option for a voter-approved sales tax for parks. If I'm not mistaken, it's 2%, or 0.2%, excuse me. And now, of course, those are the bills, not necessarily the final language. And this is not in our legislative agenda, but because it was something that we are challenged with adequate funding for general fund services like parks, police, streets, and those kinds of things, I brought it to the attention of council. The mayor requested that I agendize this for your consideration. As it says in your request for council action, you could choose to take no action on this and not take a position as council. But if you choose to take a position of support or take a position in opposition, then we would take appropriate actions with our lobbyists in Olympia, and the city would communicate that message to the legislature, including, of course, District 42 legislators. So it's pretty straightforward in a lot of ways. The real value to the city is if we were to have this, it would provide additional funding for park services and would potentially free up some general fund revenue for other services that the city would like to provide. That's all I have. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them.
I just want to be sure to clarify. So it looks like it's 0.1%, which is the bottom paragraph. And would that full 0.1%, would that come to the municipality that it's being collected in? Like, would it all come to Blaine, or does some of it go to Olympia?
It would be levied by us specifically and come to us. All of our tax, all sales taxes are paid to Olympia, but then they're returned to us, the full 0.1%.
Right, okay. So that full amount. And that has to be approved by the voters, correct?
It's currently how the bills are written.
Okay.
That may not be how they're passed, but that's currently how the bills are written.
So for clarification, this is not a tax. It's the option for a local municipality like Blaine to impose that if they choose to. Is that correct?
Right, yes. So what you're doing tonight is just deciding whether or not you think this is a good idea. What you do tonight doesn't create a tax or create the authority for a tax. It would be something the legislature would choose to do or not do, and then ultimately that may become a tool available to the city in the future.
To then lend more local control to small cities like Blaine?
For funding, yes, ma'am.
Understood.
So if a yes vote on this would mean we're in support of legislation that would enable an option that the municipalities could take up or not take up at their own to ask their voters whether or not they want to tax themselves. That's what we
yes, sir. Favor.
Okay, thank you.
Presuming that would be a motion to support a yes vote.
If the motion were to support.
I move to support this proposed bill.
Second.
Any other further comments?
I do. I want a clarification. I know that this might be because it's just a proposed bill, right? It's just a proposal at this point. It would concern me that should this go forward, then we have the opportunity to levy that sort of district nomination, whatever. That it would be monies that would go to the Parks and Cemetery Board, not Birch Bay. Blaine Parks District? I mean, would it apply to the district? It would be the city? Or, you know what I mean?
Like, I do, yes, sir. So a point of clarification, it wouldn't go to the Park and Cemetery Board, it would come to the city.
Park and Cemetery Board
is an advisory board on that, but it would come to the city. The district in this case would be a Parks and Open Space District or a Parks and Recreation District. It would be different than the Brick Lane Birch Bay Parks and Rec District, which that district exists as an independent government, as a municipality with the ability to tax to provide park services and recreation services. This would be a sort of a a subset of the city where the council would act as the board for the district, this taxing district, and would distribute those funds. So they would be city dollars, and they would be under the control of the city council to distribute.
That's in Bolton, our parks.
Exactly, yeah. So it is, again, it's very similar to a transportation benefit district. So the city chose to form a transportation benefit district. The city took an action called, they subsumed the role of the district. So council serves as the district board. It just is the district board. And those dollars are dollars that the city has the ability to spend on transportation projects that are eligible for that tax.
Thank you.
Eric.
I just, one clarification since Councilman Baldwin brought up parks and cemeteries. Could some or any of this money go to cemetery funds, or is this all parks?
These would only be for eligible park improvements and park operations. The cemetery is not a recreation facility, so no.
You said park improvements. So no new parks with this money, or could we get a new park with this money?
Well, again, there'd be probably greater detail if this actually gets approved. It's a lot.
I guess that's true. Right?
But it would be for the purchasing park lands would typically be included.
Okay.
Designing park improvements and then constructing park improvements, those would all be in the creation of our improvements to parks would be included in that. It would be improvements to the system, not necessarily an existing park. And a really important piece of it is, though, is that operations money and maintenance money is honestly, in many ways, more valuable because if you build something, you have to own it and maintain it for a really long time. Question we just had a moment ago about a library, right? And so it's it would be something that we would be careful about building new facilities because we would also have to have the money to maintain it. That's why I think this is a really, it's nice that they're packaging it together and it's not just money to build, but figure out how to maintain it afterwards.
I'm going to support this because it does give us some local control, gives us the ability to allow our citizens to decide if they want to form a parks benefits district, just like we did with the transportation. I think the parks benefits district is something that our citizens would more than likely be more likely to support something like that than perhaps some other taxing district. Because we have strong support for our park. So anyway, that is how I feel. And so we have a motion on the floor. Yes. Yes.
Second.
There was already a motion and second.
I thought there was. Yeah. Okay, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, the next three items, we will be voting on the next three after executive session at the end of the meeting. So we will now move on to our organizational meeting for our committees and board assignments. And I think I've talked to everybody on council about what they would like to serve on. Those people currently, the committees that current council members have, I think we're all going to keep, except for the fact that Eric and Mary Lou are going to step off the Public Works Committee. And so that leaves two openings because we have two council members that serve on that. And Richard said he would be interested in the Public Works as well as Garth. And so we have, and also we needed someone to be on the Finance Committee along with me and Eric, because Steve was on there before, and that one is still open. So I'm gonna throw that out there, but before we get there, Eric had mentioned interest in the BTAC committee that was vacated by Steve's seat. And Richard said he, and also the Chamber of Commerce was one of Steve's. Richard said he would serve on that. And did you say you would be on the finance, Garth?
Didn't say I would.
Didn't say you would.
Okay. So are you telling me I have to?
That is the only one off the crap, so to speak. And then I'm going to read them all off just so we're all clear who's doing what. But is anybody interested in serving on the Finance Committee? We meet pretty much as needed, as issues come up that Jeff feels we need to have an extra focus on.
That's correct. And I did pull up the authorizing resolution, so that's on. For the Finance Committee, it does have a requirement of 3 council members.
There is a requirement. I was wondering about that. So we do definitely need to fill that spot.
I'll take it.
All right, Garth, that's great. Thank you so much. Okay, so this is where we stand, okay? Eric will have BTAC, and he will also have his WTA board as before. Richard will have Chamber of Commerce and Public Works. Alicia will continue with Boys and Girls Club Liaison and Port of Bellingham Liaison. Charlie will continue with his Port of Bellingham Marine Advisory Committee and the Shellfish Protection District. Mary Lou will continue with Library Liaison and Senior Center Liaison. Michael and I will continue with the Small Cities Partnership, and I will continue with the Council of Governments. And am I missing anything? Okay. I mentioned Charlie. Port of Bellingham, Marine Advisory, and Shellfish. And so that should be everything. Yeah, Public Works and Finance, or Public Works was not on there, and Call was on there. So those are the two that weren't on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So are you clear on all of that? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, good. Thank you, everybody, for being willing to serve on those committees. All of them are very important to keep that connection with council. Okay, now we'll move on to department reports.
The public.
So a couple of quick reports for you. We, pursuant to the purchase agreement for the White Leisure Corporation and the city for the sale of approximately 5 acres at the Gateway site, we did have a 90-day follow-up meeting or a 90-day report to the city manager. That's one of the items that's in the purchase and sale agreement. There'll be another report in another 90 days, and then they have the option to extend their purchase and sale agreement if you recall. What Stacy's handing out for me is just an example of another project that they have worked on recently. It's just to kind of give you a context for some of the things that they do and the partners that they work with. We had handed out something similar to that at a prior meeting for a different one that they had worked on. Because of the nature of negotiations with tenants, and they are not at liberty to provide any specifics, but there have been some very strong interest from retail partners and hospitality partners for the site. So they remain optimistic, and I thought we had a really good status report, and we will be hearing from them again in another 90 days or so. Potentially by then they'll be able to announce some leases that they have signed, but again, it may take longer. Some of these are very significant investments, so the tenant needs to be very sure of the market. So that was quite positive. Really nothing more on that, and if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them, but I don't have a lot of details to answer. The other item here on the agenda is we have our legislative trip coming up to Olympia on the 29th and 30th of this month. As I understand it, Mayor Onion and Councilmember Boole are committed to going, and Councilmember May, are you also on board? So those would be the 3 people that we would propose to take. I don't know if any other council members are interested in making that trip. We did budget for 3. I'm sure if someone else wants to go, we could probably find capacity in the budget for that. But if council is on board with that, we'll just continue. That work correctly? Looks like it.
Everyone?
Okay. What we do when we're there is we meet with District 42 legislators and talk about our legislative agenda and things like the park bill that we just spoke about a little while ago. We also sometimes meet with some of the committee chairs who are not necessarily our district representatives, but maybe, for example, on the transportation transportation committee, or they may be on whatever legislative committee, the finance committee perhaps, that handles the park item. Those trips have been very productive in the past, or in the recent past at least, and so hopefully we'll have some success again this year. I did also want to mention that we had a labor and industries inspection. This resulted from a complaint by personnel regarding safety in a building, and the LNI inspector came through, inspected, and didn't find issues with the building that they were particularly concerned with. However, they do a more complete inspection, and in regards to reviewing some of our safety program, they did report to us in a preliminary meeting, post-inspection meeting, that they would be noting some items in the citation, letting us know that there were a couple things that we needed to correct. They're mostly all pretty minor items. One of them that was a little bit more of a concern for them was not everyone who needed to had gone through a bloodborne pathogen safety training in the past year. So we'll be making sure that all those employees get to that. It is something which we do, and it's part of our protocol, but some of the folks weren't present or didn't participate at the meeting. So that is important that we make sure that happens. And so we'll have more information on that LNI inspection after they actually give us the final findings, which we expect any time now. Could be this week or next week. I did want to mention a couple other things. I have an article that I'll hand out here when I'm done. I thought it's a nice description of sort of a council manager relationship, and the graphic on the front of it is the place kick holder holding the ball for the kicker, and in certain situations I'm the place kick holder and sometimes you're the place kick holder, but it's a nice analogy, I thought, and I'll pass that to you here in a moment. The other item I wanted to mention was that we have a no shooting zone follow-up meeting with council member Rudd Brown and with the Lummi chairperson and some other staff. So we'll be meeting on February 5th. Mayor and I will be going, and somebody else would like to come, you would be welcome. And we are continuing to pursue our council's request that the Whatcom County Council make the area in Whatcom County jurisdiction that is part of Grand Harbor a no shooting zone. So we're continuing to work on that. Hopefully we'll have something positive to report after that meeting. County Council will not be taking up the item again until after that meeting. That's all I have. If you have any questions for me, happy to answer them.
Do we know an anticipated date that the County Council is going to vote on the no shooting?
You don't. It's not on their agenda yet. It had been postponed until being placed back on the agenda by the County Council. And Mr. Brown had requested that he have an opportunity to set up this meeting before it be agendized.
So I would like to attend that meeting as well, please.
That would be great. I believe it's going to be at 10:30, if I remember my calendar correctly, on the 5th. It will be at the Lummi Administrative Center, so we'll be leaving half an hour before the meeting. It should be about an hour.
Hit me at 10 too, and you can check my calendar.
Okay, just let me know.
Thanks.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions for Michael on his reports? Okay. Moving on to Community Development Services.
Thank you again, Madam Mayor and Council. So this evening, big news is that the Bridges Plat, and that is the new subdivision that's right next door to Lincoln Park, it is recorded, it is final, the lots are created, and we have our first three building permits for new homes. Wow. Out there. I know, it's really exciting.
So you build.
Yes,
like spec homes.
Yeah, exactly. And the company that managed the platting and PUD process is also managing the building of the homes out there. So there's some nice continuity in there as well. That leads to the second update. The contractors were generous enough to be sort of our practice for rolling out all electronic building permit review. Over this last year, we have worked and we have 4 permits now that can be done completely online. All electronic review of plans is, that's the move in the future for building permits and all kinds of permits. And so we've received great feedback from the builders on that. We have a couple different programs we can use to review plans electronically, and those are shared by Public Works as well. So we're happy to be able to give that a try and hopefully expand that to some other permits as well. I did want to give an update on the County Council's review of the interlocal agreement to establish interim procedures to amend the countywide planning policies. The County Council has this on their agenda for the 28th. The city had requested 1 red line to the plan after some multiple reviews, and that was to make sure that under the authority to initiate amendments in the first section recitals, that the city manager was included along with the Whatcom County Executive, council members, and then the mayors of the other cities, i.e. that the county would recognize our form of government, the authority that the city manager has. They have completed that red line and they'll be voting on it on the 28th. Any questions I can answer for council?
Questions?
No? Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Police Chief,
thanks.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
The only information I have today is that I sent the council an email, and on February 20th, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., at the Whatcom Unified Emergency Coordination Center near the airport, they're having a 4-hour class titled Natural Disaster Awareness for community leaders. And if you're interested in that course, some of the highlights of that course is to understand the nature of disasters, risk assessment, and the context of disaster management, define the roles and responsibilities that's expected of leaders of the community, and the roles and responsibilities of support personnel, first responders. So it's a great course. It's sponsored by FEMA, and it's free, but you do have to register for it.
Is this the one that there were 2 dates, 2 possible dates for? Or am I thinking of something
else? Madam Mayor, I'm not sure about 2 dates because this is only showing 1.
Oh, okay. And what is the date again?
February 20th, 2020, 1 p.m. to 5, and I sent that 2 years ago.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions for me?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Finance.
So I have a couple of brief items. So we're going to give an update on the budget or finance plan for the police evidence room. I mean, if you recall, when we had our capital facilities budget study session back in November, the evidence room had been placed on the 2020 capital improvement plan, but no funding options identified at that point. So during that study session, you know, staff had communicated that we would evaluate the funding options and provide recommendations to council in this year, 2020. So I'm in the process right now of analyzing those funding strategies, and so I will provide a report at a future meeting, as well as there will be a budget amendment at a future meeting. So we're hoping, most likely sometime in February, we'll have that information.
Will you be running that by the finance committee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And then the second item is I have a short video to show you. I've been working with Shoe Design in producing a short budget 101 video. And this video is now ready for public broadcast. And we'll put this video on the city's website, and I will be showing it at my Budget 101 Roadshow, which we'll start with staff in a few weeks.
Thank you. provides each day? Just like a family's budget, the City of Blaine prepares the annual budget to plan out how it will pay for the services it provides. The first step in the budget process involves the City Council. Through community input, they establish a vision, goals, and priorities that form the framework from which city departments plan for what gets accomplished in the coming year. City departments present their proposed budgets to the city manager, who works with the finance director to craft a preliminary budget. The preliminary budget is presented to the City Council and the community during public meetings. With all the feedback and input, the city manager and staff make any necessary adjustments and present a revised budget to the City Council for approval. After council adoption, the budget is monitored by staff on a monthly basis. And quarterly reports are presented to the City Council. Money in the city's budget comes from different sources. The way the city is able to spend money is partially determined by the source that money comes from. For instance, money that is used to pay for services such as power, water, sewer, and stormwater comes entirely from the rates you pay through your utility bills. That money can only be used for the operations and maintenance and capital improvements of the utility. General services such as police, parks, and community services are supported by what is known as the general fund. Most general fund money comes from a portion of property taxes. Of the total tax bill paid by a property owner, 15% goes to the city. It also comes from a portion of sales taxes. Of the total sales tax paid on a transaction, about 12% goes to the city. And it comes from business taxes, such as the business and occupation tax. General fund money also comes from utility taxes paid by both public and private utilities. The rest of the money in the general fund comes from fees, fines, and service charges, and shared revenue from the state of Washington, such as marijuana and liquor excise taxes. Street operations and maintenance is supported by special revenue, which is the penny per gallon tax. Street capital improvements are supported by transportation benefit district revenue and state and federal grants. Each year, these revenue sources are supplemented by general fund revenue to provide needed transportation funding. Combined, this money makes up the city's overall annual budget, supports the daily operations, and funds the services residents depend on each day. For more information, go to cityofblaine.com.
And there you have it.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That's so cool.
Any questions?
Great.
Thank you.
Did you put that together?
Well, with my input, Shoe Design. I think that Jeff and Shoe Design did a really nice job on that. Yeah. It's part of our outreach and communications effort. And it'll
great.
Be really nice to be able to push that out through our website and social media. And those are the kinds of things that hopefully make a difference and people understand.
It's very simple, but so many people don't understand. You know, so it's just kind of.
And what Jeff mentioned is Budget 101 Roadshow. We've been working this year on a plan for kind of incorporating that with additional information and presentations from him and potentially others to talk about the budget and budgeting and city expenses with community groups and city departments, employees, and others.
That aligns right up with our government transparency goal. Thank you for that.
Great. Okay, looks like we're about to the end of our meeting here. We've got some calendar dates. That special city council meeting, we've got a quorum.
We do.
That.
Yeah, thank you.
That 9 a.m. meeting. And so is there any unfinished or new business from council?
I have some new business. I am happy to let you know that I've announced my candidacy for state representative in the 42nd Legislative District, which of course is ours here.
All right. Okay, now we're going to move on to our executive session where we will be discussing our three collective bargaining agreements, and we will be coming back to vote on those. And that's pursuant to RCW 43.30.140, parens 4, parens B. We will also be discussing potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, parens 1, parens 1. And we will be, what do you think, 20, 30 minutes?
20 minutes, let's say.
Call it 20. We'll ask for additional time if we need it. And so thank you, everybody.
And there will be action.
And there will be voting on that when we come back.